a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
It's Friday, and it's time to talk some football. This is Football Friday on The Zone, presented by Utah First Credit Union. Get a judgment-free auto loan at utahfirst.com. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
We're live at Tim Daly Mazda, just off Auto Mall Drive. You can come down and see us here in the Auto Mall, just off 106 South. You can get off 114th, too. It's just right between the two on the east side of the freeway. Come down and say hi to us. Jake's going to talk to us about the great deals that he's got coming up here in a little bit. But it's Football Fridays,
yes,
gentlemen.
It's
Football Fridays.
Am I on over here?
Yeah, we got you right here.
Okay.
Yeah, we got you.
Where's my headset?
Right there.
You've
got it.
There we go.
Turn
there we go.
I
need to hear myself in my headphones.
You want to hear how beautiful
like,
you sound?
Turn me up in the headphones.
Luma, how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Coach, can you hear yourself okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
I'll crank you up a little bit so you can hear how beautiful your voice is.
Wait till you've been in this business a long time, Hans. You won't be able to hear it all.
I know, huh? Your hearing just starts to shut down.
Do you wear a headset, right, when you do the college game?
Yep.
I tell you, I remember Hotz towards the end, you'd be yelling at him, Hotz, and he'd say, huh? Couldn't hear because you had the IFB, that earpiece in your ear, and it's blasting.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So I was at a high-level meeting last week,
and
I forgot my hearing aids.
Oh, no.
And so I'm looking at these two ladies, right, and I'm trying to guess what they're saying.
Oh,
and what do you think about this, Coach? And I'm going...
Just nod your head.
They're saying to each other, Coach is a little creepy. He keeps staring at our lips.
Yeah, I am. I'm trying to figure out what they're saying. You know?
Man.
And you don't know whether it's good or bad.
Yeah, you need to get those hearings in.
Boy,
yeah.
I tell you,
I wear my earpiece when I'm on the set, right? I wear it in my right ear. And my right ear is like my hearing, my right ear, not good.
Man, you guys do such a great job on Friday Night Lights. You guys just kill it, man. It's so much fun. Do you love doing that?
Well, we have a blast. I think that's the key. And as you know, because you and Scotty have mastered this as well, when you're having a good time, then your viewership has a good time.
Yeah.
We had a special moment. I shared this with you at the game that we did last night. It was Syracuse against Fremont. Not a great game. Fremont has got all kinds of injuries, and Syracuse is one of the top teams in that division, right? So it was lopsided. But one of the referees, the head official, Bob, he came over to us. He's been doing this 35 years.
Oh, wow.
35 years, right?
At the high school level?
At the high school level.
Wow.
And to the point where, and he has,
at certain times,
I think currently even, he manages how the rules are written and implemented. And just one of those, and we have a lot of guys like this that have been refereeing games or officiating games for years, decades. And he came over to myself and Frank Dolce, Tony Parks, and Dave Fox, and emotional, like he was emotional, thanking us for the coverage of high school sports.
Cool.
And it's not just us. I mean, there's plenty of people in our market that cover high school sports.
Cool.
But that is such an important part of our community. And so we take great pride in doing it, but also great pleasure. I tell people, and I'm not, you know, and this is nothing against the work that I do at the Jazz, which I absolutely enjoy, and I believe I have the best gig in the business.
Yes, you do.
Being able to do that. But you know this, I'm a football player.
Absolutely.
And so football is close to my heart. And football at that level, at the high school level, is about as pure as you get.
Yep.
And so I just enjoy it so much. And the opportunity to do two games a week, a Thursday game and a Friday game, and to be able to cover these guys. And even the, you know, it's always fun when somebody makes it to the next level and I'm covering, you know, somebody that's playing at, you know, the college level, whether it's locally or out of state, like Kingsley, or, you know, the list is long of guys that have played at the next level. That's great. But, you know, for both of us, we think about the guys we played high school ball with, that was it for them. Right?
And that's 99% of them.
99% of the kids out there are not going to play at the next level. And the relationships that you build.
It's awesome.
Not just with your fellow players, but with the coaches. And I have great respect for the coaches who don't get paid very much to do this at all. Certainly not what it's worth.
People don't know.
No.
They don't understand what high school coaches get paid.
And
they might think that they make a living off that. They do not.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Not in this state.
And they're doing it because they love these kids. And they're in this community. And I'm going on too long on this, but to answer your question, I love doing high school sports. Well, I love it. I absolutely love it.
You guys are great at it, and I loved coming up and seeing you and Dave and Frank, and it's just a blast. I want to take you back to the early 90s, Coach. How much did you recruit this state
in the
high school talent?
It was a priority for us.
And so even in the early 90s, you felt was...
Well, there wasn't as many, you know, good players, but... the state of Utah was a priority for us to get the, you know, to have an opportunity to get the best five or six or seven players out of the state of Utah. And you could see that with the influx of the Polynesian people that this state was really going to blow up, you know. And we got some very good players, a lot of starters that played for us that helped us to turn it around.
Just think about last week when we were at Lehigh for the Sky Ridge game.
Yeah.
Right? These two teams are literally, somewhere between 3 and 5 miles apart, just across the freeway from each other.
Yep.
And a lot of these kids, you know, they grew up probably playing, you know, with each other on a given team.
And having to split.
But the energy that was at that game and I saw you there. I don't know if I shared this with you. When I got there, because we were coming from Logan from doing the radio show, I get there at Lehigh, and I've done several games at Lehigh, probably countless games at this point in my career. But the energy that was there, there were people saving spots in the line to get in. Not, you know, I mean, sometimes they'll save spots in the stadium, and there was none of that going on. You had to reserve your spot in the line to get in the gate. At 9:30 in the morning, they were saving spots for this game.
In the line. Yeah.
And Sky Ridge, of course, been around now 8 years, but has never played Lehigh in a regular season game. They played in the playoffs, but they hadn't played at one or the other's, you know, venue at their school. That game was
electric.
It was overflowing with that kind of community energy that high school football represents.
What it should all be about.
Yes.
And it just keeps building. And it's fun to see it, Coach. Should
well, coaches get at games all the time, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
So West is playing Highland tonight.
We got East-West next week, Coach.
Yeah.
We got that game.
Yeah. Well, that'll be a...
Yeah.
Oh, that'll be a warp because they hate each other.
They still do, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt.
There's no love lost there.
No love lost there. And the West High School coach, you know, was at East originally.
Comes from East, that coaching staff.
Yeah. And so when he went over to West, a lot of those kids mm-hmm. all of a sudden moved over to West because, you know, they all come out of Glendale
yeah.
and Highland Middle School, and they have the choice between Highland, West, or East. And at one time, everybody's going yeah. East. Now you talk to kids, where are you going? Well, I think I'm going to go to West.
Yeah. No kidding.
It's been a resurgence
it just switched
of West.
Why are you going to West? Oh, I like the coach, or I like this, or yeah. like that. And I can remember maybe 5 years ago, maybe six, when they hired a new coach at West.
Yeah.
And he's trying to get all the people to come to West.
Yeah.
And so I go to their first introductory meeting, you know, with the parents and the kids, right, and listen to his – And spiel and to his talk. And so then I asked a lot of the parents after this, well, what do you think? Oh, we're going to East.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, because it takes, you know, for somebody to come in that understands the culture to the point where they recognize that, okay, we've got to find a way to bring our kids back.
Well, I know that the head coach goes to church with a lot of those parents.
Yeah.
And they're the very well respected guy.
That helps.
And so all of a sudden it has changed.
Yeah. And you know, Sione Havili has been coaching down there. His son ended up going to West and he's an East, you know, legend.
Oh, he's an East guy.
He's
yeah.
an East legend.
Sione Havili is a football legend.
Right. Well, and Stanley went to Cottonwood, but Sione and that group at that time, they were winning championships up there. That was before Maddox, and then
when
championship.
When Stanley was going to Cottonwood, I think Jason Capuzzi drove him back and forth every morning because he was coaching over there, right? Yeah. So all of a sudden, he's over there, and he played it because yeah. he had a set a year, so he was playing in the JVs, right?
Yeah.
And my God, he looked like a, you know, you watch the JV
like a
film. And, yeah, I mean, he was running 75 yards.
Yeah.
I think I was at Kentucky at the time. And I said, you guys need to watch this kid. He's playing in the sophomores.
Yeah.
But this kid's a big-time player. He's just not eligible over there. And I tell you what, every time he had the ball, it was 60 yards.
Yeah.
But
there was Stanley and Isi Sofele,
yeah.
you know, at Cottonwood. And they had their run, too, with that group.
They did.
Well, speaking of big matchups, there's a big one tonight with University of Utah and Oregon
mm-hmm.
State at Research Stadium.
Okay, well.
That Research Stadium, I know it only takes about 38,000 people, but it can be a really tough environment. And, Coach, this just seems like one of the all-time classic power matchups, what Jonathan Smith and Kyle Whittingham are bringing to this.
Well, first of all, Oregon State, their offensive linemen are great second-level players. You know, they get to the second level. You know, a week ago against UCLA, nobody got to the second level. Basically, the linebackers came out of there. Their jerseys are probably not even dirty,
mm.
you know. So, but tonight, they'll all be tested because these guys are second-level guys, coached aggressively, good finish guys, you know, the
Coach,
whole thing.
Coach, explain to people what you mean by second level, because it is one of the most important aspects of the run game.
Well, you get off of the initial line of scrimmage, you know, through a three technique or a one technique or a five, and you get to the linebackers. And that's the key, mm-hmm. is to get to the second level. And once you get to the second level, now all of a sudden your opening creases. And these guys are second level guys. And they're coached aggressively, very aggressively. And so this is going to be a really interesting matchup. This game was a game that scared me from the very beginning because I know that how he's built. The Oregon State program is built similar to Utah's program. The quarterback at Oregon State is probably a little better than our quarterback that's starting for us.
Mm-hmm.
So they have an advantage, and they have an advantage of running back because I think their two running backs are better than our two running backs. So it's going to be interesting, and I know that Jim Harding, the offensive line coach at Utah, completely understands what has to be done, you know, tonight because we have to win – the line of scrimmage against these guys, and I think our quarterback is a little limited in the throw game. Mm-hmm. And he's more, you know, I don't think he reads coverage really well. He's looking to the guy he's going to throw to, and I think it's a little bit pre-snap of what they're telling him to do with the football and the throw game. But as far as being able to, you know, run the option, do different things like that, it's a hard task to ask, because you're going to have to be able to throw the ball well enough to keep them off target.
Yeah,
you know, because if it gets to be just a run game, it's going to be tough.
So Oregon State can probably slow that down if that's what it becomes about.
Yeah, well, they're you know, this guy, Jonathan Smith, has done an excellent job there, because, you know, if you've been to Corvallis, you go to Eugene first and you go to Corvallis. Where are you going to go to school if you're offered by
right.
both? I'm going to Oregon.
I want to be a Duck.
Yeah, I'm going to be a Duck. But they've done it because he knows the area well. He's recruited really well. And they got tough guys. You know, they're a blue-collar football team is what they are, the same as Utah. Utah's a blue-collar football team. So this is going to be another low-scoring game, I would guess. You know, 21-10, 21-7, something like that. And the thing you got to watch is you got to watch closely the offensive line of Oregon State to see if they're getting to the second level to the linebackers. And if they are, that means that number 8 will be making a lot of tackles, and your secondary will really be tested. Mm.
Alema, have you seen this DJ Uiagalelei?
Yeah, that's a very honorable attempt that you just made at Uiagalelei.
Is it bad?
Uiagalelei.
Uiagalelei.
Yes.
So
you got it.
He was from Bosco or one of the modern day, one of those schools.
And he's, he's had glimpses where he's looked fantastic. And, you know, kind of coming on the heels of Tua Tagovailoa, everybody was like, oh, okay, this is going to be the next big Samoan, quarterback. But he's, I don't know if he's hit a ceiling or what is going on. And, you know, he's looking for new life, obviously. At Oregon State, looked good early, but the competition probably wasn't, you know, it's certainly not what he's going to be, what he's facing here in the Pac-12. So I think that, and here's the big question, in my opinion, in this game. And if they can establish the run game, speaking of Oregon State, then they'll probably be okay offensively. But if we see what from the front seven from Utah, what we saw last week against UCLA, and they're living in the backfield, and they're harassing, if they're harassing the quarterback, then, you know, which they're capable of doing too, obviously, right?
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
The conversation you just had with the insider from Oregon State. That front seven is very capable of getting to the quarterback. But if Utah can get to Uiagalelei and they can harass him and make him, you know, apprehensive and, you know, dance around in the pocket, then I think that Utah has a really good chance here. And I say that understanding that is a tough place to play.
Coach, do you have any more insight? This Cam Rising saga is crazy.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it is. So
it's tough.
How many stories did I get last week?
Right, that he was playing.
Okay.
He's good to go.
Okay. And then, you know, the Saturday night.
Yeah.
So I have people over the house, you know. And so one of the insiders,
okay.
You know.
This is before or after the game?
After the game.
Okay.
It's insider, you know. He says to me, yeah, well, they're supposed to have a Zoom call with the doctor.
Yeah,
but the
surgeon.
With the surgeon, but he never took the call.
Hang on a second.
Yeah, yeah. This is what this guy tells me. He said, "You know why he didn't play?" I said, No, I say, well, that a Zoom call with the surgeon, but he never took the call.
So they never got a green light from the surgeon because they couldn't get in touch with him?
Yeah. But
well, forget the Zoom call. Text him.
Well, this is just this guy said it out of the blue.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm thinking, that's crazy. You know,
that's crazy.
I mean, I'd have drove to L.A. or wherever the doctor is and said, hey, dude,
do
we go or we don't go? You know, so
that's crazy.
Hey, and so this guy's just sitting in a chair. You know, I said, I got it.
This is a guy that would absolutely know.
The guy that was sharing this information with you.
Yeah, supposedly he knows, you know, just like the other guy that told me he was going to play that cost me some diddles or skittles or whatever it is.
Skittles and some diddles. Yes.
It didn't cost any diddles, but it did get you some skittles.
By the way, that's counterfeit. So.
these aren't really tasting the rainbow. Yeah. Huh?
So when you go to buy something and they put it through one of those machines, this bill.
I'm going to text you a picture of me in cuffs.
Yeah,
I'm going to be like, thanks a lot for these Skittles.
Yeah, the off-brand Skittles.
And I'll come down and get you out for $300. So.
Kroger brand Skittles.
Something has to be done.
And then you can say, hey, who's the guy that gave it to you? And then you spill you spill the beans fast.
Oh, something has to be done at the college level. When it comes to injury reporting, because you know, obviously, in part because of the betting world, the NFL has this, and you have to report accurately. This is part of gamesmanship. You know, when you dress your quarterback and bring him out
for warm ups,
and then he doesn't play when the line has already moved in Vegas.
Right.
If anybody is going to impact this,
okay,
and force a change, it's going to be Vegas.
Yeah.
So first,
they're going to go. That's enough.
Okay. And Wednesday or Thursday of last week.
Yeah.
It went up to 6.5 in favor of Utah, which means that they had
some information. The same information you had.
Yeah. Same information I had. You know that this kid's going to play. Okay, now all of a sudden, the day before the game, it drops down to 3.5 or 2.5. And I'm thinking, maybe I better relook at this, right? All of a sudden, they know something I don't know.
You should have texted me and said the Skittles are off.
Yeah.
I went off what I saw against Weber State. That was really my draw. If he didn't go against Weber State, and this is not the week for him to come back. Coming back against Oregon State.
No, not against that front seven.
No, this isn't the week to come back. So,
no.
You know, and you start to look at it, you get the bye week, you come back, and if he doesn't play against Cal, does he play at all?
No.
Well, if he doesn't play against Cal, then he's probably done for the year.
Yeah, because then you got people in your ear, and they're saying, nope, you get ready for your pro day and the combine, and that's your focus.
Do you think he's got enough in the bank, Coach? No, I'm not talking about money. Enough in the bank film-wise to get that combine invite and that potential draft?
He'll probably get the combine invite. But I don't,
he'd get the combine invite just for the physicals, would be my guess.
But I think he's probably, at this point, probably a third or fourth round, maybe fifth round guy.
But you still feel like he'd be.
Well, he'll get.
Yes, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
He'll get in camp with somebody.
Yeah.
You know, and my guess, he's making more money at Utah than he would be in his first year in the NFL.
Yeah.
Probably.
He is.
Yeah.
If the numbers I hear are correct, somewhere between $300,000 and $500,000. You know, if you're pulling in that on your NIL, then you know you're sitting pretty.
Well, I've got to imagine that there's going to be some tough decisions to be made at this point, Coach Mack. Actually, you know what? Let's do this. We got Jake hanging out with us from
Jake's got
Tim Daly Mazda.
Jake, I want to know about some of these cars.
Yeah,
and particularly this one over here.
Wait, well, Coach wants the sports car.
The Mazda Miata, right there.
The Miata, is that what it is?
Yeah, it's a Miata.
Hey, new, so that MX-5. Car,
Now, did they stop making the Miata for a while, and now they've come back and it's back on the market?
No, they I've only been around Mazda for a year.
Yeah,
I was with another company for 18 years before, but since I've been here, they've been here. But this is it's pretty sought after, especially this black one.
There's a lot of people that this is like a collectible. Yeah. There's Miata clubs.
Oh, yes,
and you'll see them driving around during the summertime.
Do you get a bargain on a Miata like? Like it's
coach for you, I'm sure.
For you, absolutely. Yeah, come on, coach.
For you,
I got you.
Okay, hey
we'll talk,
I got you.
We'll talk off the air.
Coach wants to be in this Miata.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll talk off the air.
Let's get him in this Miata. What are we waiting for? Jake, really quick, just kind of set for us, because you were talking about the pricing that you're setting for our listeners. You got to move 20 cars by end of business day Saturday.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Tomorrow. Mm.
Yeah, 20 new cars.
So listen to this, what he's doing, Dilemma, for our listeners.
So I'm going to do $1,000 under invoice, minus any applicable rebates, whatever that car qualifies for as far as rebates. So obviously you're going to have more on like a CX-90 than you are on like a CX-30, you know, as far as rebates. Then I'm also going to do whatever subvented or special APR that Mazda is giving on that. So
on
usually,
top of
yeah,
it.
On
so
top
this
of
is,
it. So usually
these
you can't
are all
stack.
Compounding discounts.
Yeah, stacked. So usually car dealerships don't stack. It's either one or the other. You want the rebates or the discount, or you want the special rate. You know what I mean? You only get one. I'm doing all three.
You're stacking, and you're giving the $1,000
and the $1,000 under invoice, and I'll bring out the invoice and show the invoice pricing, so you can see that we're straight up giving you the best deal.
So do this for us. Just bring your car in if you've got something to trade in. If you're just looking for a new car, this is on the new car area. So come in. Talk to Jake, or you could talk to Chris. I worked with Chris on part of the sale on one of my vehicles. Come in and just talk with the staff. Mention what you heard from Jake. Get yourself in a great situation in one of these new cars, and then you still have a used car inventory that knocks it out of the park down here at the Auto Mall.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're just looking for a used car, I got plenty of that. I got certified pre-owns. I have over 100 used cars sitting here on this lot that we'd absolutely love to help you out with.
And most of those used cars are going to come with that Tim Daly Forever Warranty. The Tim Daly Forever Warranty sticks on every one of these new cars. Even when Jake is knocking prices off the top of them, you're still going to get that Forever Warranty. It's Hans and Scotty. It's Football Fridays. More of it coming up next. We're going to stick with this Oregon State-Utah game and get a little bit more deep in the details on the defensive side coming up next.
Take the Zone with you wherever you go. Download the KSL Sports app to get live streaming of your favorite shows.
Downloading.
Download the latest podcasts and get all the latest breaking news on the teams you can't live without. Everything you need delivered right to your phone.
Let's go get them where we can get them.
Just search KSL Sports on your app store of choice. Download it now. The KSL Sports app, presented by University of Utah Health.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
So when I was putting the numbers together for this Oregon State-Utah game, and you see I do color coding here,
yeah.
Lemma. Orange dot means 100 in the country or below. Yellow highlighter is top 15 in the category. Here's your categories. And you look at Oregon State, and it's just yellow highlighter, yellow
and
highlighter.
Orange dots.
And then one orange dot on passing defense. The only area that Oregon State struggles in numbers-wise is passing defense. They give up about 260 yards a game. Of course, that's not what Utah needs, because Utah's not going to go out there and pass it all over. And then you look over to Utah side of things, and it's yellow highlighter, top 15 in 8 different categories, and only 2 orange dots. Total offense and passing offense.
Mm.
The two areas that they've struggled because they don't have a quarterback. But you look at this matchup, Alema, is this not the classic college football in the trench, just the dirtiest type of matchup you can find?
This is a beautiful thing if you like that kind of, you know, you know, the opposite of what the wacky whack was, where, you know, the ball was just going all over the place. And this is all about, you know, can you win the line of scrimmage? And as you were talking about, that second level, getting your offensive lines, getting their first block and allowing that running back to have a seam. But then, you know, obviously you're looking at numbers, right? You got your five offensive linemen, you got somewhere between three and four defensive linemen. And so you might have an advantage there, but you've got to be able to get to, if you're, you know, speaking as a former running back, if your guy can get to, even if he's going to just, you know, chip or screen the linebacker, that's the difference between a 3-yard run and a 10-yard or 20 or, you know, to the house type of run. Because at that point, if you get past the linebacker, then a safety might have an angle on you, a corner might be able to catch you, but you're looking at 10, 15, you're looking at chunk yardage.
Beautiful
at that
game.
Point, right? And that's, I love watching those kinds of games because it's in the trenches, it's those one-on-one battles.
Coach, you want to take a guess at who's not getting to the second line with their offensive line? You know what? We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, because they have not gotten there yet this year.
BYU's inability to get up. BYU's offensive line just can't get to that second line.
Well, no, you know what? What did they rush for last week, BYU?
9 total yards.
And basically, it's because none of those guys are finishing and getting to the second level. They're just kind of... They get the start of their combinations, and then they kind of quit. Yeah. You know, I don't know if that's a proper word, but they don't really get their hips through, and therefore, if they don't get their hips through, their feet don't follow. And most offensive linemen have a dead spot in their feet after point of contact.
Yes, they do.
But what you have to do is you have to train them to take the dead spot away from them.
Which is very tough.
Yeah.
I had to learn how to take the dead spot out of my feet.
Absolutely. Because and kind of the way the linemen are coached now, and, you know, if you go to practice, you don't see a lot of finish work. You see just guys getting point of contact. And they kind of just, because they're trying to keep them from getting injured, and they stay up high and they don't really get their, you know, the hands, the hips, and the feet are all attached. So what you have to do, everything has to be in alignment. You can't, if your elbows are too wide, therefore your feet won't follow. Your elbows have to be in, your thumbs have to be up. And then in order for your hips to come through, your hands have to deliver the blow. And once your hands deliver the blow, the head has to come up. And when the head comes up, the hips will follow. And so as long as your body is in proper alignment and a point of contact... is that you learn at point of contact your hips have to thrust.
Fire.
Yeah.
Which is tough. That's a tough thing to learn.
Well, yeah, it is tough because you watch, like, UCLA guys never got to the second level a week ago. You know, they didn't.
Lander was having a party.
Yeah, well, he didn't get his jersey dirty.
Yeah,
He was having a party.
I would love to be behind that defensive front. And just be scraping up tackle after tackle.
Hey, you know, I mean, Peppa looks like three people, you know. I mean, he takes up three gaps, you know. And Tafuna, same way.
Tafuna's getting better. Yeah. He's getting more and more healthy.
Well, Tafuna's a good, really good player.
Coach, you know who I've got as the number one offensive lineman in the state right now?
Who?
Number one offensive lineman in the state.
You're talking at the college level?
At the college level.
So out of our schools.
Oh, the left tackle at BYU?
Sumatia?
Nope.
No?
Who?
Take another guess.
That would be the easy answer.
Spencer Fano.
Really?
Oh, Fano, the kid at Utah.
Best offensive lineman in the state.
Wow. Man, talk about just, you know,
best offensive lineman in the state.
Well, the thing is.
Division I ready.
Think about this, guys. He's seen Florida speed edge.
Mm-hmm.
He's seen Baylor blunt edge.
Yeah.
He's seen UCLA, the best. Well, he's the second best end in the country, and that's only because he's the second best in the Pac-12, simply behind Ellis.
Yeah.
And that's the Latu kid.
Yeah.
Go look at what the Latu kid did.
Well, the Latu kid did nothing.
He did nothing.
But boy,
Spencer Fano has shut down SEC, Big 12, Pac 12. It's not. He's playing the best of the best, and nobody is getting the best of him.
Well, I tell you what, Latu is a nice looking kid. You know, you watch him when he comes out. You watch him when
beautiful.
He
lands.
Oh, yeah, I mean, long. You know, but yeah,
he had 3.5 sacks going into that game.
Yeah.
He was fighting to be the best in the country, and Jonah Ellis right now says, he's
"Well, Jonah,
on the next
the
level.
Thing about Jonah Ellis is he never quits. His motor is going all the time. I mean, he can.
How do you teach a motor, man? That's
well, he just.
I've been working with Rock on the backside blocks. The backside block takes a motor.
Yeah.
And for an offensive lineman, when you're talking motors, backside block, you can't disengage on a backside just because the play's away.
Exactly.
And you think,
right.
Oh well, I got on him. I'm like, this is going to end. It stops right now. You better stay engaged. Put it butt in the ground.
Right.
And I'm on it because that's where the motor takes place.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so typical, you know, backside offensive tackle a lot of times, he's got his cutoff, you know, and then he kind of stops. You know, he'll cut off, run 3 yards, and then stop rather than try to get down to the safety or sprint through. But that's all in training, how you train.
Yeah.
And what you're expected to do. And it's what the offensive line coach tells you to do and makes you do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about the
as an O-line coach, is there anything more infuriating to you than watching a backside lineman make a play on the play side? A backside defensive lineman make a play on the play side?
Oh, yeah.
Is there anything more infuriating?
Yeah. Well, you know what?
So
the guy that played at SC, the linebacker who played in the pros forever that passed away.
Junior. Yeah.
So we're playing them in Arizona, right? And we're an option football team. He's running down our stuff from the backside.
Junior Sal.
Yeah.
Junior Sal, yeah. And I
he could do it.
Yeah, he had a motor.
Oh, I tell you what, he was for real. And then on top of it, and I've told this story before, he comes to my house for dinner after the game with his dad.
No, he didn't.
Yeah,
he demolished you.
Yeah, after they knock on the door. He and his dad, right? And they say, "Hey, coach, I hear you're having a dinner over here after." Yeah.
No way.
Come on in, Junior.
Did you spit in his burger?
No, I did not because he.
Respect.
Yeah, he made me look bad.
Yeah, there is a certain amount of respect on that.
Indeed.
When you get done and the player just completely kicks your trash.
Yeah. That game he had that night against Arizona was one of the best games I've ever seen a D lineman have because the guy, theoretically, you're not supposed to be able to run down an option team from the backside.
Shouldn't.
Because,
but there's some dudes that do. And
well,
it's the biggest glaring issue right now with BYU's front. They're getting chased on the backside.
Yeah.
Backsides are making too many plays.
Yeah.
Hey, give me the story on the Fanos. How did Logan and Spencer end up at BYU? Because BYU had Logan Fano.
Yeah.
What happened?
I'm not sure what the details are, and the Fanos were I believe they were in my brother's ward, the Samoan ward that's up in actually the Alpine area. And, you know, talking to them prior to and covering both of their careers, right, at TimpView. And I remember when TimpView was an automatic channel to BYU. I don't know what happened with the process there. But it's one of those things where you feel like, man, we should have gotten both of those kids. And we already had one of them, and what happened?
Well,
so I don't know the answer to that. I wish I did.
Well, and I think that Kyle's brother's back coaching at
yeah.
Is Kerry at TimpView?
Kerry's at TimpView.
He is?
Very quietly coaching over there.
I didn't know that.
And helping Donnie Atuwaia as the head coach there.
Well, I'm just telling you, Logan and Spencer Fano have been the biggest advantage for the University of Utah.
They both played under Sewell when Gabe Sewell was the head coach and he had taken over for Orem. And that you know, obviously Nephi was at Utah and so it's possible that there were some channels there. But it's and so certainly the head coach of your high school team has some influence. But they don't make the decision. Like, the family made this decision for a reason and felt like that Utah was going to be the better place for their boys.
Those dudes are football players.
I'm telling you.
Those are two of the best football players. He's the best offensive lineman in the state, and he's a true freshman.
Yeah. And so we're talking, and I remember covering him as, I want to say, sophomore, and I can't remember if they, I think they, Orem won the state championship. And the older brother actually got kicked out of that game for defending his younger brother in a beef that happened on the field. And this, we did these games all the way up in that, I can't remember, Cedar Valley or whatever the name is of this school during COVID. That we did all the high school championships, semis, and finals up there. But, you know, they're both just amazing players and great physical ability, and unfortunate for BYU that you weren't able to land them.
And very fortunate for University of Utah.
Absolutely.
So you know where Gabe Sewell is now?
He's probably on a plane going to watch a game with one of his kids.
No, because he's coaching the Red Raiders.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
So I
thought he was just, you know, traveling around with his wife and watching their boys play in the NFL.
Well, his wife got a great job over there.
Yeah.
Okay. He's coaching the offensive line at Cougar High School. And so when I was over there and I visited practice, I spent a ton of time with Gabe.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing, he said, yeah, my kid wanted to buy me a new car. And I said, no, I got a car. He said, keep your money, you know. and you know what? Gabe and his wife, wonderful people.
Yeah.
I mean, I told him, I said, you're living off your wife now, dude.
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, she's got a great job. And so Gabe's trying to be a golfer now.
Yeah. Oh.
So he's playing golf all the time. And so I asked.
They got golf on that island.
Right there
in the North Shore, if you can afford it, you know. You know
he's not paying.
Yeah. Yeah. The Turtle Bay golf course, very nice.
Turtle Bay. Then they got the
Kahuku golf course.
Then they got the Kahuku.
The municipal golf course.
Which is full of holes.
Yeah. Which you just walk on.
You walk on, yeah. $20 will get you on that course. But you have to know somebody for the other course.
Hey, let's take a quick one. We'll come back. We'll wrap up some of our thoughts on this Oregon State-Utah game. Get right into the BYU-Cincinnati game. That's all coming up on Football Fridays.
The Utah Jazz are about to start their 50th NBA season.
Check this out.
And Jake and Ben are celebrating by counting down the 50 best Utah Jazz players of all time. Every day at 11:30, Jake and Ben will announce a new player on the list, as voted on by the local media and you, the diehard Jazz fan. Leading right up to the start of the NBA season, it's the 50 best Jazz players of all time with Jake and Ben. Presented by UCCU, love where you bang. On your exclusive home of the Utah Jazz, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. It's Friday, and it's time to talk some football. This is Football Friday on The Zone. Presented by Utah First Credit Union. Get a judgment-free auto loan at utahfirst.com. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome back. Football Fridays, Coach McBride, Alim Harrington, the best in the business, the legends, kind enough to give us each and every week a couple hours on a Friday to talk football. All right, let's try to wrap this thing up and put it to bed. Oregon State and Utah. Coach Mack, how does this play out tomorrow or tonight?
I looked at this game before the season even started, even when Cam was supposedly going to be healthy to play. I looked at it as a trap game.
Yeah.
And I looked at I think because of how Oregon State is taught and what they believe in and the physical nature of how they train those kids, I said, this is a trap game. and this could be a real problem for Utah. So I predict it to be a low-scoring game, a little bit like the UCLA game a week ago. And obviously, Washington State ate up the secondary of Oregon State, but they did. We won't do that because I don't think our quarterback is capable of doing that. And I don't know how. It's hard to say how good the receivers are at Utah because you don't see them making many.
It'd be hard to be a receiver at Utah, right?
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. And then losing the tight end, who's a big part of what they're doing. So we're going to have to win it on defense. We're going to have to keep the offensive linemen off the second level, and we're going to have to get turnovers. And this quarterback will turn the ball over.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it'll all go down to field position, special teams, defense, and not turn and possess the football. So it's a very scary game, and Oregon State has a good locker room, so that loss to Washington State will really make them mad because they got the kind of locker room that gets upset, and so they got a good locker room. They're not going to sit there feeling sorry for themselves. They're going to say somebody has to pay for the next week.
And they know they can't stack two Pac-12 losses on top of each other back-to-back and have any shot at what their ultimate goal is.
And Oregon State is in a different frame of mind than what they were 3 years ago, of what they, you know, how they think. And so it's, you know, but Utah is really good on defense.
Oh, man.
Really good on defense.
One of the best I've ever seen.
Oh, my God. I mean, they're... So it'll be so you just watch the offensive and defensive line. That's where the game is. That's where it's going to be played.
Utah is number 9 in the country in turnover margin. They're plus 5 on the year. They've taken 7. They've only given 2 turnovers.
Yeah, they're through their first I tell year. You, they're very good at possessing the football. You watch the receivers. You watch the running backs. I mean, they tuck the ball. They protect it.
They're tight with
it. Yeah, and they do a good job of teaching, you know, ball security.
And Nate Johnson's got to do the same. He's got to be really smart.
Well, Nate was the one where the guy hit him right in the chest over there, and then he coughed the ball up.
People are wanting Nate Johnson to open up the gates a little bit, and it's just not going to happen.
No, it's not. Because I don't know if, at this point in his life, if he's capable of doing that. You know, maybe a year from now.
But not right now.
But not right now.
Alema, your thoughts, how does this play out?
I said this last week, that and we were talking about whether or not Cam was going to play, and he didn't, obviously. And I said, if he doesn't, I think that Nate Johnson does have enough for them to win the game. And they won. This is what I think. I don't think Nate has enough to win this game tonight, but the defense could. So to me, this is all about the defense. And if they can put together a performance like they had last week, then I think they win the game.
So I've got Utah winning it 12-10. I think it's low scoring, and this is my thought. They either win it with 4 field goals because they get their field goal kicker back, or they win it with 2 touchdowns and they miss their extra points because they've got a backup in Cheek that can't get it done.
Yeah, I think it's a...
But it's a 12-10. That's how... If Utah's going to win it, that's how they're going to do it.
It's probably... My guess would be... 21-14, something like that. But it'll be, and turnover margin will be huge, you know, of who
in deciding the game.
In deciding the game, and field position will be a big thing. Keeping the offensive linemen off the second level, you know,
it's going to be such a fun game. And I want to play in this game so bad.
So yeah,
I want to play in this game so bad. I want to play center in this game.
Yeah, so. So you'll see at the end of the game, both teams will have some guys nicked up, and Utah has a bye after this week, which is really good. So all they got to do is worry about, you know, and I know that talking to Jim, you know, Jim Harding, we text back and forth during the week, and he understands exactly what has to be done.
That dude's a good coach.
Yeah, he's a very good coach and a good guy. Great with his players, you know, and
longest tenure coach outside of Kyle Whittingham.
Yeah, and so he's really a good dude, very good line coach, Players love playing for him.
Hell of a recruiter.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well,
he's been on Rock since Rock was like 10.
Yeah. Well, he's a very personable guy. You know, I mean, he's a very natural person.
Yeah.
You know, in other words, there's no like gimmicks to him. I mean, he walks in, being himself. You know, just
and he's got a heck of an O-line coach.
Oh yeah.
You know, outside of we were talking about Spencer, you know, I go to Bills. Keaton Bills is one of my favorite.
Well, Keaton Bills,
offensive lineman in the state.
Yeah, Keaton Bills in high school was a man.
Was he?
Oh yeah, he was. He played for Don Heck at Corner Canyon.
Destroying people. Huh?
Yeah, and he was really very athletic, very tough guy. You know, and then the kid from Hunter High School who's been playing center now.
Comp.
Yeah,
Jaron Kump has done a really good job. You don't see many tackles transition inside. He did transition to guard for a minute, but then he transitioned into center.
Right,
and
so he's a nice player, hardworking kid, and I trained him for a couple of years in our off season. You know, when he was younger, and he had a great attitude towards what he was doing. Tough guy, went on a mission, came back. You know, so I really like him. You know, so there, and then of course Moko's son, you know, is
Moko Fisi's so good,
and good bloodline. You know, the dad was a great player, and
that offensive line's underrated. Yeah. I'm just telling you, it's underrated, and if they get the win, it's going to be on the backs. Anything they do offensively, be back.
I think
on the
Utah
backs of them.
In general is underrated.
Yeah,
there are a lot of talk, of course, about Deion. And Coach Prime in Colorado, but I think there should be more talk about the two teams that will match up tonight.
Wish they would have that quarterback.
Let's get off the Colorado train.
Oh, you ready to get off the Colorado train?
I was ready a couple of weeks, but I do like him because he tells it like it is.
Yeah, he
does. Know? But he doesn't have good enough players.
Yeah.
Let's do this. We'll take a quick one. We're live at Tim Daly Mazda here in Southtown. It's the Southtown Auto Mall. You can get off 106th, but come down and talk to Jake or talk to Chris or ask for anybody here on the showroom floor. Jake needs to move 20 cars, and he threw in some incredible incentives to move those cars. On new cars, you're going to get compounding discounts. So come down, ask him about that. You've got through end of business day on Saturday to take advantage of those great deals that he's throwing out there. But these Mazdas are the best. I just bought two of them. I bought the 5 and I bought the 3. You can get around in these things. Great gas mileage. They're dependable. And don't forget, the Tim Daly name comes with a forever warranty. It won't let you down. Either will Jake. They'll take great care of you. I buy cars from them. Scotty's bought like 10 cars from Jake.
Scotty hasn't bought any cars.
No, Scotty has single-handedly made Jake a millionaire. Like he's bought that many cars from him.
Scotty actually...
Oh, yeah.
Spends
Scotty,
money?
Scotty spends money.
I've never seen him open his wallet.
Scotty's bought some cars from Jake. That happens. We'll come back, and we're going to transition over and get you ready for BYU Cincinnati. That's all coming up next.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent. It was senseless. And I will never understand it. I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.